Connie, it looks like you're unmuted. Hey. Hey, George, Rayla, and Dove, and Marge, otherwise known as Mom. Hi, Mom. Oh, she's showing me a picture of Connie's new break room at work. It looks lovely. It looked pretty dingy before. So it looks really, really good, Connie. Nice work.
Yeah, compared to what those poor guys had to put up with before, that's pretty bourgeois.
It is. All right. So I think Connie and I are going to try and do this without earphones. I see neither of us have them in, and I'm not suggesting that we need to. I'm just going to ask you guys to let us know if you're getting feedback. Sounds okay, George? All right.
It's good because I'm at work and I don't have my earphones.
Oh. Because
that would take somebody that was organized.
Okay, boss. You're the boss there. And apparently you got organized people working for you.
Yeah, thank goodness. Are you going to say the prayer?
Well, I did last week, but I can do it. I don't want to pray.
She didn't mean it.
Dear Lord, Connie's making me pray. Shoot, I gotta quit laughing before I can. All right. Yes, I'll be happy to say the prayer. Oh, thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come together and be with good friends and family, and really for giving us the opportunity to teach what we would learn, to get out of the way so that we can be surprised by what we see come through us this evening. And we would ask that everyone hear what they need to hear, see what they need to see, including us. Amen. There.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Last week, we finished up at the bottom of page 429. And it made sense to me to back up like a paragraph and begin with NTI 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21.
I concur.
Okay, good. So remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you.
That's pretty dynamite. I don't remember reading that last week, or I just brushed by it. Sorry.
Blocked it out, right?
I guess. So everything that that we notice is we've asked it to be brought to our attention. That's pretty dynamite.
Yeah, and we're emphasizing this again because until that reading, I had read this the way that I've read it several times in NTI, everything that you experience is because you've asked to experience it, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a different word used here. And so I appreciate you bringing our attention to the fact that the word attention is used here. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you. So let me finish the paragraph. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions. So this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go.
Yeah, and that just takes us right back to that. Everything is about our spiritual unfoldment. We just have to notice.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. And it's interesting how the word attention seems to change that paragraph for me, because we experience what we give our believing attention to. So if we're giving attention to our misperceptions as misperceptions, then that way, these experiences are used exactly like you said. They're used for us to see, where we've been focusing our attention, right? So if we can attend to them as misperceptions and no longer give believing attention to the reality of them. It does seem like a little twist on the everything you experience, you've asked to experience.
Yes.
Does it not? Yes.
Yeah, and we had that, we originally came up with this concept after watching The Secret, if you remember, and they had that was a million years ago, and they had that list of emotions, And there was, you know, fear and joy. And it said that any one of those negative emotions could be used as a barometer to point you back, because when you notice them, you can say something's amiss here. And
yeah,
and you ask the Holy Spirit for the answer. What is amiss? Because if I am upset, then I've misperceived.
Exactly. And so this paragraph seems to be bringing us back to that idea of misperception, you know, because what we might do as core students, certainly what we've done somewhere in our history as Course in Miracles students, is to say, you know, oh, things aren't going well in my life. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Because God's
will for me is perfect. Yeah, anything wrong except misperceiving.
Right. Right. So,
and this might not even be wrong.
but this is giving us the opportunity to look at our perception of the experience that we seem to be experiencing.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. Yeah. All right. There's the first paragraph.
Done. All right. Wait a minute. I got to turn the space heater off. It's hot here. Rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now as it stands for you to see. What you see is what you see because it is a reflection of what is in your mind. What you see is not fact in that it cannot be changed or cannot be seen differently. What you see is only fact in that it is a fact that it is a reflection of what is in your mind now. Accept this fact. Look at the reflection and see what you did not see before. All that you see is in your mind, and you are the power that can change it. Is what you see that which you know to be your truth? If it is not, it is misperception, and it will fade away through your willingness to release it to do so.
And what's really cool about that is that's a very definition of a miracle, or setting yourself up for a miracle. You just know that there's a different way to see this. You turn it over to your divine wisdom, your intuitive part of your God self, and then open yourself to know that it's a misperception, and the answer will be handed to you.
Yeah, and ask to see differently. It's, yeah, the way the Course will put that, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's that willingness to see it as a misperception. You got a cold, honey?
I'm just now starting to tear up and all that stuff, so I don't know. Everybody around here has got the flu. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I don't know. I may succumb.
Let's look at that misperception. No.
How does that make you feel? Okay. So, have we read it all? By trusting the light, is that where we are?
By trusting the light, I don't see that. Where are you?
The last paragraph in that section. Oh, wait a minute. I flipped the page.
Sure was looking.
It didn't make sense to me. I don't know why that didn't
work. Boy, I'm not paying very close attention, am I? Where's my attention?
It's a flu, okay. All right. So we're at look at the reflection, or have we done that already? We've done that.
We did.
Okay.
All right. You want to read this
next
paragraph?
You want to see what you saw before. Pardon me?
You want to read this next paragraph?
So I won't be so confused.
I don't know. I just felt
it. First Peter chapter 3, verses 1-6. Be submissive to your true desire. Be submissive to your true desire. In this way, you are submissive to your Holy Spirit, for your desire is your Holy Spirit. For your true desire is your Holy Spirit. True desire and Holy Spirit are inseparable. Hmm. That kind of reminds me of the courses saying the only purpose of the only goal of the course is to be happy. Yeah, okay.
You mean you don't believe it?
Huh?
You mean you don't believe it?
Well, there's a submission that's I'm sure that's true. but I'm sure that you have to submit before you're going to figure out that that's true.
Well, sure. Yeah. The way I heard it was the way Inner Wisdom said to me about something. I don't know even what it was about, but the way I heard it was the ways and the end are the same, or the means and the end are the same. So it makes sense that your true desire would be your Holy Spirit. I mean,
because that's cool.
The true desire is to reawaken to the truth of who you are, to recognize who you are.
Right. And whatever means you're using to get there is what you want.
Well,
is your desire.
And the means to get there is the desire. You know, it's just desire to know thyself is all.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Your turn.
Okay. Look within to the misperceptions that make you special.
Yeah, I know. That's a big one. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm commenting on every sentence. I don't mean to.
No. I mean, that's what we're here for. Well, and you know, we talked a little bit about this. Let's read the paragraph and then let's talk about it. One, two.
All right. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. We'll do it that way. Maybe. Look within to the misperceptions that make you special. That is, those misperceptions that seem to hold you apart from the rest. They may seem to be misperceptions that make you better, such as talent or wisdom or love, or they may seem to be misperceptions that make you less than, such as unworthiness, sacrifice, or disdain. Whatever you see that seems to separate you from others is a misperception, and it has arisen within your awareness that it may be let go through your decision to be free of it.
Of course, that's our old standby that we've said forever. You know, the ego wants you to know that you're not just a mother. You're either a really good mother or you're a really bad mother, but you're not just a mother.
Right, right. A generic mother, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing neutral about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's just the whole mechanism of separateness. And it's interesting because the paragraph begins with look within to the misperceptions that make you special. And then it talks about good stuff and bad stuff. And in that way, it's saying the same, it's using the word special in the same way, of course, that A Course in Miracles uses it, you know,
yes.
Special, separate, right?
Yes. Like a really good mother, better than everybody else. I'm special. I mean, you know, I would never do that with my kids. My kids would only know the best and go to the best school, you know, whatever. Or I'm a really bad mother because I forgot to take them to McDonald's when I told them I would, whatever, right?
Right.
Whatever makes us special.
Right.
And we can be special bad or special good, just like the paragraph points out. Okay, I'm said enough. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, thanks for sharing. In this way, look on everyone as the same and with no difference that can be truly noted.
Sorry, I have to
when
interrupt
you see
you.
No difference. Sure, go ahead, please.
I think we could just do that and just transform. I think if I could truly know.
Uh-oh, am I locked up?
No.
Sorry.
I think if we could just truly know that that we're not different from anybody and stop looking for that and start looking for the sameness, we'd be way down the road in our spirituality.
Well, I think so too. Let me tell you how this is striking me differently than it has in times past, because we've been talking about this for 30 years. So let's look at this another way.
It's a miracle.
So if we're really looking at mind chatter or the judge, Dawn saw this earlier. I don't think she knew what it was. This is to remind me that these are not my thoughts. That's great. This is my judge. Yeah, he sits right here and says stuff all day long. So I just thought the prop might help. It seemed inspired. We'll see. I'm doing an experiment with it. So I'll get back to you.
I love it.
But that guy says, no, seriously.
Your balloon says what?
The balloon.
I think that's great because it's like the balloon that, you know, that always shows in the comic strip. Right. I don't know if people in Radio Land are hearing, but what Jacqueline pulled down was a balloon that was a star. But yeah, in the comic strips, that's what's going on in their mind. It usually has some bubbles that goes up to it. But
Yeah.
So cool. It's
their thoughts in them, right?
Right. It's got your thoughts in them. And we're reading them.
And we've been talking about how, you know, like in A Beautiful Mind, he can still see those characters walking beside him, to want him to pay attention to him, but he's like, he just doesn't anymore. And all of those thoughts came together, I think, to lead to my balloon ego there. But to get back to the point at hand, yes, in this way, look on everything, everyone as the same as you, with no difference that can be truly noted. And what this guy does, this ego guy, does is this judge, it's all standards. There's all these standards packed into this thought system. So the ego compares you to your own standards. Ego compares you to what other people are doing. So the whole thought system is designed for this comparison. So to see everybody the same, including yourself, it really is giving up of that thought system, because that thought, it's running all day long going, well, that's not what you did last week. Or boy, you sure did that better last time. Or you know how Connie does it. She does it this way. And that's, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But it's a whole thought system. Right. Like the Course in Miracles has been telling us for 30 years, but, it's difficult to see everybody the same when you got this thing going, well, here's a standard, here's a standard, here's a standard, here's a standard. And that's all the mind chatter does.
Well, I can certainly relate to that. In fact, I remember on the golf course, you were telling me I was aggravated with somebody naturally, but, and you said, well, you know, you're holding on to a standard. You don't even try and live up to yourself. Sometimes you go by that standard and when it suits you, and sometimes you don't. And absolutely the same way in traffic, you know, the sign said no turn on red. I would never do that. But, you know, I am really late. I think I would turn on red.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're, and then we're making judgments about everybody, in, like you said, including ourselves, regarding that standard.
Yeah. Yeah. So while it would be great to treat everybody the same when they bump up against one of those standards, it's helpful to have that focus. But, you know, if you really want to get to the root, you need to just quit using standards at all, which sounds,
yes.
I mean, even when I say it, I'm like, don't say that. No standards.
Yeah. So then you get back to, letting everybody just be just as they are and being happy about it.
That's right. Letting all things be just as they are. Yeah. Including yourself. Well, yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. All right. So let's read. I don't think we read that full paragraph. Let's do it as four sentences. And I have this standard where we need to get through this material. All right. In this way, look on everyone as the same as you, with no difference that can be truly noted. When you see no difference between you and your brother, you shall see that you are the same. When you see that you are the same, you shall also see that you are one.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. There is no judgment in the world. There's only judgment within your mind. It is your judgment that shows you a world of judgment. It is your judgment that gives you a world of pain.
Boy, I tell you, the Holy Spirit just calls you out on it, don't you? Doesn't he? You think everybody's out there judging? No, you can't go there. It's just you. You're creating your whole universe, and it's your judgments that gives you a world of pain and more judgment. All right, thank you.
Yeah. Accept this fact. Everything you experience comes from you.
Man.
Everything that you experience comes from you. There is not one exception to this statement. Therefore, everything you see, as you see it, is a gift given you that you may see what is in your mind.
It's a double whammy, isn't it? Everything you experience comes from you, and it's a gift. Sure it is.
You sound like you might not believe that, Connie.
I mean, that ain't been my experience.
Yeah. Look well and remember that what you see comes from you. If it is not that which you would have yourself see, let what you see go and do not hold on to it.
There you go.
Yeah. So, just in this whole general discussion, talking about, you know, letting go of standards, letting go of judgment. It's like, you know, why wouldn't you just use these things as a barometer? Is it habit? I mean, why do we tell the stories we tell ourselves? Right? What are we trying to protect? What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to, you know, I mean, and that's where the kind of digging, a little bit of digging has to go on. So you can see why, you know, it looks like a fact that that dude that just cut me off in traffic really is an asshole. Or it looks like a fact that when I have the same old argument with somebody about something, you know, I want to hang on to this. It looks like they really are being an asshole or whatever. I was going to use a specific example and I decided not to. So that's why I got kind of lost in that.
I know I have them too. But I get into this all lengthy story and everybody to fall asleep before it's done.
You know, it may seem like your partner really does have, for example, an issue about money. You know, every time you have a discussion about money, you have an argument. Well, you know, if I'm letting all things be as they are, who's arguing? You know? What is it that I'm believing, that I'm insisting on holding? What stories am I telling that makes me come up with what seems like an automatic, a knee-jerk reaction?
Absolutely. That's great, Jacqueline.
Yeah, so you got to be believing something or you'd just be going, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, after a while, you just... Sorry?
Don wrote, he owes me. That one belief will do it. Yeah, or anything like that, right? Or I'm the one that does all the work around here, or... Well, I mean, whatever. There's a story that you're believing if you're getting upset.
You ain't me.
And you can't even hear the story without the barometer of, gee, I'm upset. So yes. Something's going on here.
Yeah, so first of all, you got to recognize that you're not at your peace anymore.
Right. Right. That you're under some misperception.
Yes.
Three little words can cause such an upset, as in he owes me. Yeah. No, you didn't mean I love you, right, Don? So the first thing is to notice you're having a misperception. You must be having a misperception because you're not at perfect peace. So then you have, that begs the question, then you have to ask, what's my misperception? And it's not, boy, he really is being an asshole. I don't see how I'm misperceiving this. No, it's what am I believing? Because only if I'm believing a story only if I'm believing a story told by this guy, right? Ego.
Bloom,
Judge. Only Monkey if I'm believing voice. A story can I be upset.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, I'm loving what is.
Yeah, and this is saying, and some of us haven't done so well at, let me start over. Okay. I haven't done so well at not listening to that monkey voice. So, but the Holy Spirit's very gracious here, and he says, you know, let what you see go. Do not hold on to it. So, you know, even if I have that thought, then it's just a recognition of, okay, let's let this go. This is not serving me.
Yeah. It just seems like it's time to take this a step further than we did for the last 30 years. Than just going.
You're so demanding.
I know. Yeah, I'm judging. Okay, I won't do that anymore. I mean, there's a reason we keep going back and back and back and back with the same judgments. There's a reason we go back and back and back and have the same arguments with our
because of the monkey voice, you're saying, because we listen to it to start with?
Because listening to it in the moment.
Listening to it in the moment, and because we're not clear with that with that statement earlier that everything you experience comes from you and there's no exception to the statement, but it's a gift.
That's an excellent point. Because no, he really is an asshole when it comes to money, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
we have to do with your misconception, right? Right. Yeah.
Say again.
That it, yeah, we're continuing to lay it off on somebody else as opposed to recognizing it as the misperception.
Yeah, and so what we end up telling ourselves is, I should be at peace with the fact he's an asshole about money. Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, because you still haven't admitted that it's a misperception and that
that's right. That's right. So you have to ask yourself in the moment, what story am I listening to right now?
Yeah, it's what misperception do I have because I'm not at peace?
That's right.
Yeah, and you're right. It's probably some standard you've set up that somebody's not meeting or you're not meeting.
Yeah, it's always a standard. Yeah. I want to just double check the chat here and see if I... All right. Okay, good. Okay, we're at middle of page 431, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Always keep your true desire close in your mind. When you see a misperception and feel the confusion or guilt or fear that it seems to bring, drop to your knees in symbol of returning to the true desire of the heart.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. This is exactly what we're talking about. Letting go of the story. Recognize it's your believing attention given to some story. And then return to the true desire of your heart. Quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. You know, and again, that's a recognition, you know, taking responsibility, right? That's a recognition that I'm listening to some story. You have to let go of the story long enough to not listen to it. I mean, you know, you have to go, okay, thank you for your input. But I've got to set this story aside for a minute, right? I mean, and again, this is why it's helpful to have it here. So I can say, thank you. Now I got something else to do, right?
Yeah. And for everybody out there in radio land, Jacqueline's talking to her balloon.
So quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. Because what we would do is go, yeah, but he really is an asshole. And you're just not going to get there through the story. Or, you know, it's got to be set aside. Great, I understand you have an interpretation. Give me a minute. right?
Yeah, until that's a fundamentally not with you anymore.
Right.
But when it's fundamentally not with you anymore, you won't have to go through that scenario because that you will know that everything is okay is because everything's okay.
Yeah. But what's being taught in this paragraph is how to deal with it in the moment.
Yeah, I understand. So I'm being optimistic. At some point.
George, yeah, that's great. George Maddox says, the awakened one says, where have all the assholes gone? Man, this world used to be full of them, right, George? So in the moment, you have to be willing to let go of the story, no matter how real it seems. So when you see a misperception, if you're not happy, if you're not at peace, if you're upset, that's seeing a misperception. When you see a misperception and feel the confusion or guilt or fear that it seems to bring, drop to your knees in symbol of returning to the desire of the heart. Quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. Ask what it is that you truly want. And returned your mind willingly to its source. In this way, the misperception is released in faith, and an answer, which is true perception, is given, that your mind may be given back to peace. Because what we want to do instead is cling to that. No, he really is an asshole. No, he really is. You know, no, I really am right in this situation. No, he really does always pick on me when this comes up. No, I really want to be a victim. No, I really, you know.
Yes, because it's always about our own self-identity. So we, you know, and our own self-identity, we want to be right.
That's right. And you got to let that go.
Yep.
In that moment and go, that's not right. And again, that's why it's helpful. I just love this guy. Oh, I mean, I don't. That's why it's helpful to go, okay, you know, we can talk about that in a minute if we need to. To my balloon. Because the problem is if we think it's us, it's like we think we have to back our way out of that thought. You know, that I have to debate both sides of it. Well, you know, that one time he wasn't an asshole, so maybe he's not always an asshole, right? You know, if we want to argue with it, if we think it's a thought that's emanating from my mind, you know, it's all wrapped up in there. It's hard to separate that out. It's easier if you see that that's a thought that's in the mind that's been created by my consciousness and collective consciousness. And this is a thought that's floating up here. I don't owe any allegiance to that thought. I don't have to go, yeah, but the last 42 times we had that conversation, he was an asshole, right? I mean, right? Then I can say, more easily for me anyway, this is not truth. Even though if you ask me to write it down on a piece of paper, it seems like I could marshal all the evidence for that. Plus everybody else says he's an asshole, right? I mean, so I can marshal all that evidence. And if I think it's my thought, then I feel like I owe some allegiance to it. And I have to like rationalize it or justify it or some way other, you know, get rid of the thought. But if I can see that it's in that pool of thoughts that just floats around here, then I can go, I'm not buying. Then I can kind of reverse it and say, you know, the evidence is there. Because of exactly what was here on the page before. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you ask that it be brought to you, right? Then I can see, no, those are the thoughts that I choose to give believing attention to. That's why the evidence seems to show up. So it just, for me, it just somehow seems easier if I'm very, very, very clear. Those thoughts are not my thoughts. Those thoughts are the thoughts that I've chosen to give believing attention to. And I no longer am going to give believing attention to. So you guy, you can just go over there because I'm giving believing attention to my true desire. And what do I want to know? I want to know the truth. And I know The truth is, he's not an asshole. That's impossible.
Yeah, and I think I like your perspective, and I think that that's also being said was said at the beginning of chapter 3 when Holy Spirit said, "Look within to the misperceptions that make you special," because it is all about that self-identity. That we have this desire to single ourselves out. And the truth is, that's the furthest thing from the truth. And if we want the truth, then we need to stop making ourselves special.
Right.
By thoughts that separate us.
Right.
Are you okay with that? No, I mean, I didn't mean to negate your point. I think you made an excellent point. I was just saying it another way.
No, I didn't. I don't think you did at all. No, I was just sitting with it for a minute. No, I'm good. I was actually just checking in to see if I had anything around the point that you made, but I don't.
I think we're going to read about this misperception again here.
All right, let's. Where are we? I lost my place.
13 through 16.
Thank you. Well, we read that.
Oh. We can well, read the first sentence says, or the second sentence, first couple sentences we'll read again. Always keep your true desire close in your mind. When you see a misperception and feel the confusion or guilt or fear that it brings, that it seems to bring, stop, drop your knees. That Holy Spirit, this is a drama queen. drop your knees in symbol of returning to the desire of the heart. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, let's read the rest of it again, and then we'll go on to the next one.
Quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. Boy, they are whispering. That's your balloon.
Yeah.
Ask what it is that you truly want and return your mind willingly to its source. In this way, the misperception is released in faith, and an answer, which is true perception, is given, that your mind may be given back to peace. Boy, that'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, because that's what's so cool about that whole concept of that whole promise. Let me say it that way. That whole promise of letting go of that monkey mind. Can you imagine not having to deal with that crap?
Yeah.
And just being in the present moment all the time, and being totally present for whoever walks up to you, or being totally present to just what's happening around you, or the birds singing, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a potential for real joy that I have just taken away from myself because I've decided to listen to this to these thoughts that are in my head that keep me preoccupied and don't let me to be physically present with what's seemingly going on.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And that's that is the veil that, of course, Miracles talks about, the veil of perception. And of course, NTI talks about it in Anna Ramana as well. But that is the veil that's placed over reality. And this last sentence in this paragraph again reminds us that the means and the end are the same, because the means is to put aside those stories, those thoughts that we give believing attention to put those aside. And once those are removed, then you are in the presence. Then you are in the peace and the joy of presence. So that the remembering of your true desire in that way is also the end of the practice, right? The end, the goal of the practice.
Yes.
So the means and the end are the same.
Yes.
Just put that aside.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Good. It is through your release that misperception is taken away. When you choose to hold to misperception and you suffer with it willingly, you ask that it be given. And it is given as you ask.
There's that attention that we start off with in it.
Yeah. But when you let go of misperception and trust there is another way to see
the miracle,
misperception is released through your request. And the light of heaven shines on perception, that the light of heaven may be seen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have asked, and so you receive.
Thank you.
Remember this, that you may choose to ask differently.
Thank you again.
You are the leader of your own awakening. The gifts you are given are the gifts you have asked to receive.
Okay. Holy Spirit, wrap that all up. We ended up where we started.
Imagine that. All right, you ready to begin chapter NTI, 1 Peter chapter 4?
I am.
All right, let's. Man walks in fear. We're on page 432, by the way. Man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he is fearing. Man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he is fearing. He makes decisions to avoid his fear, only he cannot turn away from that which he cannot see. Because he is blind to it, it follows him. Because it follows him, he continues to run and hide. Damn.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh. That's not funny. No,
it's just, well, it's funny in a tragic kind of way, right?
It is. It is tragic.
Again, this is so what are these standards for? What does this judge tell you? Judge, ego, call it what you will, you know, whatever we call it, monkey mind. Why is it saying all this crap? Why does it have all these standards, right?
And sometimes I was just thinking about this. Sometimes it's not even your standards. It's somebody else's that you borrowed from somebody else. What are they going to think about that?
Right. In fact, you can even hear that voice. It comes out in their voice.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how to go about this. You know, we talk about every thought is, you and I, Connie, have talked about this for a long time. Every thought is designed to create or maintain the I thought. And basically the I thought, this is the I thought.
The balloon.
Yeah.
The monkey, this thing, the monkey
that holds all these thoughts, because that whole thought system and all the thoughts in it, they're all designed, right, to prove I exist.
Yes.
And so all of these standards,
because your biggest fear is that you don't exist.
My biggest fear is that I don't exist. Right.
Yes.
And even if I can grant that I exist, I'm not doing a very good job at it.
Right. I'm not totally convinced.
That's right. That's right. These thoughts would keep you in fear. Oh, I got to do better because, you know, everybody else on the golf league does it this way. Or, oh, I got to do better because my mother always said, if you can't pick up after yourself, what good are you? Or, you know, whatever the, I don't think you ever said that, Marge, but you get the idea, right? I mean, so that's why all these stand. And so you're always like, what do you want me to do now? Oh, I better run, do this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, if I don't call her back, she'll think this. Right.
Yeah, and that's why we really need to know that there's two thought systems, and it's very simple. It's the Holy Spirit and the ego, and you are in one or the other all the time. There's no exception. You're in one or the other. So you can be slave to the ego, and you can think about it in that same terms if you want. You can be slave to the Holy Spirit, but surrendering to the Holy Spirit is better than being a slave to the ego. And I'm not saying that very well, but you get the gist there.
You are saying it well. And of course, the kicker is, guess who the Holy Spirit is? You.
Yeah.
So you can be slave to your true reality, right?
True reality, yes.
That's not so bad.
Yes, or you're slave to the monkey mind and the misperceptions that keep you in fear all the time.
That keep you in fear all the time, and whose standards change. It's inconstant. Today I'm supposed to do it this way. Tomorrow I'm supposed to do it that way. And either way, if I do it, I'm going to get criticism.
Yes. Right.
From the guy, no matter what I do. You can't win for losing in that thought system. You cannot win that game.
Yes, because you can't avoid the fear.
Although it'll keep you running, trying to keep you to avoid the fear. But I mean, that's what this first paragraph is about. You can't win that game.
No, right. I agree with Holy Spirit and you.
Fear is a misperception. It is a misperception because there is nothing to fear. What man runs from is his imagination. And in his running, he imagines more.
I think that's what you just said.
Yeah, I think that's what we said. This is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear.
Now that's a big one. That's a big leap, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, from the cross kind of like jumps off the page at you there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's fear. Oh, no, that didn't.
This isn't fearful, right?
Yeah.
But this is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear.
Right.
You are not your body. You are not this thing that you've been, using to navigate through the seeming world. You know, you're not this flesh and bones. That was the whole point.
Yes.
That's not who you are.
Yes.
So even when they take that away, even when that is gone.
Yes.
Hey, I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back.
So this is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear. This is a lesson you have become ready to accept. verses 7 through 11, page 432. To live without fear is to live without imagining.
So this we're back to needing to be present again.
Yeah. Well, it says that, right? Yeah. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire.
Okay. Thank you.
By keeping the mind in the now and in the purpose, the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining. And so there is no imagining of fear. I don't care what your stories is. And sometimes that judge, that ego, that thinking mind will go, ooh, you're really good. You're doing this so much better than Connie does. And that seems like a good thing, right? Well, whatever. I mean, but ooh, you're doing really good. Seems like a good thing, but it's not, because it's the other side of, next week you could be doing really bad.
Yeah. If you're doing really good this week, you could be doing really bad next week, because there's two sides to every coin.
Because there's two sides to all those coins that tell you who you are. Like you always say, you're a good mother, you're a bad mother. There's no such thing as just a mother for ego, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So, there's no imagining that that I could do it wrong, that I could do it so wrong that people will hate me, that I could do it so wrong people will revile me and put me on the cross, right? There's no belief that I have to be taken care of. I can just be with what is as it is.
Yeah, and you would have to be back up in your balloon in that monkey mind to. Because if you were in the now and you weren't up on the cross, that would not be a consideration.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So we keep reinforcing that idea that to be totally present is a way out of the sphere.
Yeah. Absolutely. To live without fear is to live without imagining. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire. But keeping the mind in the now and in the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining. And so there is no imagining of fear. whenever fear seems to come over you, ask, what am I doing now? You will see that you are imagining and that you are imagining fearfully. Remind yourself that in imagining fearfully, you are creating your own misperception. Be willing to let go of this activity, and the action of creating fear is let go by you.
Yeah. Be willing to let go of this activity. Okay. Done.
That's that whole thing. Like a course says about taking scissors away from the baby, right? Yeah. No, I want these scissors.
Yeah. Fear. So where he's using the word imaginings is the same place that we're using. We're talking about that monkey mind, the balloon.
Yeah.
Those thoughts that keep us anywhere but present.
Right. Fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. And again, this is where we're being asked to just be with that. And it tells us somewhere, maybe even in this chapter for all I know, but it says, if you sit with the fear, you will see that you can sit with fear and not die from it, right? Because what monkey mind, ego mind, judge mind, balloon mind will tell you is you've got to do something to head this off.
Yeah, we were reading that earlier about the avoiding the fear, right?
Yeah.
Anything but to participate in that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's
too painful.
Right. If you just sit with it, you see that it passes. It just passes. It has to, because it's not real. And if it doesn't pass, it's because you're believing this guy that's telling you all this stuff's going to happen. All right, let's read this last paragraph and then we'll turn it over. Return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart. In this way, you return your mind to love. A mind in tune with love cannot know fear, because fear, which is not real, is the opposite of love, just as unreality is the opposite of reality.
Yeah, so if you want to be in reality, you better drop the fear.
Yeah, well, if you see fear, you can be daggone sure you're not seeing the real. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you. That was lovely.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Connie.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Awesome.
I love you. I love all you guys. And we'll see you next time.